Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Quick shout out to the Philadelphia Police Department.
Yeah.
You see what they're doing? And Philly Crime Update also, local guy who does a great updates whenever something's going on. He and Steve Keeley at Fox 29, they're now posting pictures of the people who were arrested during the Eagles Super Bowl arrests on Sunday night.
Good.
And we had the Eagles, Don Smolinski, the Eagles CEO yesterday with the mayor and all the people talking about the parade on Friday. He mentioned, you know, that Philly gets a bad name because of the actions of few, but at least this time they've made arrest and they actually are posting pictures of the people who, you know, tore down the light post around City Hall, got into fights, were assaulting police and beating each other up. So good for the Philadelphia Police Department for posting the pictures of these people, these crumb creep cowards who don't know how to celebrate and then give the city of Philadelphia an even worse name.
Amen.
When these videos go all over. These videos are everywhere.
What was that?
You're damn right, Frank.
It's Frank Rizzo.
The great Frank Rizzo. Crumb creep coward.
You're a creep.
I know.
All right, we continue with the cut sheet, I guess.
Cut 21 here, Ayanna Pressley.
Oh, on second thought, I'm going to call an audible. Let's get out of the cut sheet.
She said something that, like, I don't know if she misspoke here. She said the quiet part out loud. I think you be the judge of this. She said this. Cut 21, roll it.
Look, let me tell you something. I'll take a bit of umbrage here. I'll speak on behalf of my colleagues. Something I can say. We are all willing to work with anyone who's serious about doing the work of censoring the American people and advancing progress.
Did she say we will work with anyone serious about censoring the American
people? That's correct.
People?
Coming from the party of censorship. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. Did she, like, in all seriousness, did she mean to say that? Or is she saying the quiet part out loud? Said.
I actually watched that further just to understand the context of it. And I still can't understand what she's getting at. And it came out so smoothly.
Yeah.
That to me, it was deliberate. It was intentional. And I'm not shocked. I don't understand why. Again, this is, you know, like a big topic of ours because we're a free speech station. Why yep. do you want to, unless you just believe, Ayanna Pressley, that the only way you can win is by mitigating the marketplace of ideas? Because if we're going to allow a robust amount of speech and let people pick and choose what idea is the best, what policy is the best, then you have no chance of winning right now.
What, play it one more time.
Yeah,
I can't stop watching the leather. I mean, that leather ensemble. Sorry. You know, go ahead.
It really is.
Look, let me tell you something. I'll take a bit of umbrage here. I'll speak on behalf of my colleagues. Something I can say. We are all willing to work with anyone who's serious about doing the work of censoring the American people and advancing progress.
And nobody behind her, like,
but they are not serious.
But yeah. They are not serious about censoring the American people and the for progress.
I have no idea what the hell she's even trying to imply.
What is she saying?
Well, Kirk has an interesting point on YouTube. Did she mean censuring? Like censuring?
Yes. But she's not talking about any... I actually watched a long version of that. She doesn't get into the element of censuring anybody in office, right?
And you censure the American people? That doesn't make sense.
No, you can't censure the people. You can censure somebody in Congress or yeah.
Yeah, like Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff was censured when he was in the House, then he ran for Senate, and now he's in the Senate crying every day too.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm just trying to figure out.
She's just an idiot.
How does she get her head so smooth?
You're trying to be nice.
I don't know. I can't get my head. I need whatever blade she's using, I need to find out.
I'm actually not trying to be nice because I despise her. I'm just trying to see if she meant to say something else or if she's really just saying the quiet part out loud.
I've watched various clips of that for various durations, and it is absolutely censorship.
This is cut 17. This is a Ugandan man who says that people in his country are now going to die because the U.S. taxpayers no longer send his country lubes and condoms.
Oh well,
I kid you.
Boy, things got a bit. Things got a bit rough, huh?
I kid you not, Roland.
Things have gone downhill since Big Daddy or Idi Amin left, huh?
We are now looking at an increase in infections, a decrease in suppression. We are looking at a decrease in care and also many people are now going to become infected since they will no longer be able to access lubricants, condoms, self-testing kits. We would always look at the United States as something that we would always run to in case you're facing a number of insecurities in the country, you're finding it unsafe for you to continue staying in Uganda. But if again we are receiving such threats of you can no longer seek asylum in the United States, it's now an extra threat to the community and also to the people who are already living in the United States.
There you go.
Look, I subscribe to the American First populist platform. I'm sorry. I'm more worried about people in my country, and that's not to be inhumane. But like my old man used to tell me, you know, if you ain't got no glove, there won't be any love. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, don't pull it out, Skip.
Yeah. You know, by the way, if you're talking about a shortage of lubricants, just drill, baby, drill. What else can we tell you?
Is fracking a whole new meaning.
Oh!
Condoms, I understand, because, you know, AIDS is still a big problem in, you know, a lot of these.
We sent them $50 million worth of condoms.
Third world countries.
Or somebody got them. I don't know who got them, but $50 million. The entire world can get free condoms. Yeah. You go to Planned Parenthood and get free condoms.
Yeah, AIDS is still a problem. Well, how about you just do a little vetting before you drop your trousers and get it on, like, two rabbits in the park?
Yeah, what do you think this is, San Francisco, where you can have HIV and not have to tell your partner after you have sex with him?
It's just personal accountability and responsibility. I have an idea what you're doing, and before you're like, oh, damn, I'm screwed. Well, you should have thought about it.
So he did.
Wrap that rascal.
Elon Musk did correct, because everybody was saying, oh, it wasn't $50 million worth of condoms to Gaza. And so
it didn't go to Gaza.
He was it was Gaza province in Mozambique. Not Palestinian territory of Gaza. So we did send $50 million worth of condoms to Gaza province in Mozambique.
So what is that, like Lower
it's like
Providence, the Collegeville?
It's like Springfield. Every state, every city has a Springfield, right?
Yeah.
So they sent it to the wrong Springfield in Gaza. Well, unbelievable.
Elon was asked about this. Cut 11, Phil. If you have this up, you're doing a good job, buddy. Thank you. We're all over.
Mr. Musk, you said on X that an example of the fraud that you have cited was $50 million of condoms was sent to Gaza. But after fact check this, it apparently Gaza in Mozambique, and the program was to protect them against HIV. So can you correct the statements? It wasn't sent to Hamas, actually. It was sent to Mozambique, which makes sense why condoms were sent there.
Yeah.
And how can we make sure that all the statements that you said were correct, so we can trust what you say?
Well, first of all, some of the things that I say will be incorrect and should be corrected. So nobody's going to bat 1,000. I mean, we will make mistakes, but we'll act quickly to correct any mistakes. I'm not sure we should be sending $50 million worth of condoms to anywhere, frankly. I'm not sure that's something Americans would be really excited about.
You know, today's front page of the New York Post is a picture of an Islamic extremist, and the headline is "The Jihad Bill." Here's how bad USAID got. It once paid for a terrorist's college tuition. So,
alleged terrorist.
Yeah. So you
9/11 connection.
You look at wars. You look at condoms. You look at evil individuals. We are using American citizen taxpayer dollars not only to fund the battles we're fighting, but in some regards, funding the launching of conflict. It's like we're fighting wars against our own tax dollars. It's absurd. This has got to end. I mean, Elon Musk and Doge are doing the work that many smart people have been saying, I need to see this 75 years ago.
MSNBC Morning Joe had their legal analyst Danny Savalas on yesterday on Morning Joe.
I know Danny.
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
Danny is a really good guy, actually. He's a local guy. He's a very good guy.
Yeah.
But he so they had him on to talk about the constitutional crisis. Mika was just reading from her New York Times,
right.
And you know the constitutional crisis that's happening. And he kind of threw a little cold water on the whole constitutional crisis talking point that stations like MSNBC and outlets like the New York Times are running with. Roll it.
We need to be careful with the term constitutional crisis, because as I define it, that would be a situation where the Constitution doesn't have an answer and there is a pressing conflict. The flurry of executive orders, the chaos, that I think doesn't get us to crisis yet. It is irritating for the courts. It is challenging. It could lead to a serious problem if, as you said, they become too congested with dealing with these orders.
They keep coming. Yeah.
The crisis occurs, and we've already talked about it, at the moment when there is a court order and the president or the administration refuses to follow it. Because historically, we don't really have a clear answer for what to do in that situation. On the first half of it, issuing a bunch of executive orders, not only do we know that the courts can handle it, they already did this back in 2017. This is the same MO. The Trump administration then would just fire out executive orders. It felt like they weren't even spell checking them. And then they would let the courts prune them like the proverbial bonsai tree, or they would just withdraw them and go back to the drawing board. It's probably not the most efficient way of doing it. It's chaotic, as you said. It's problematic. But constitutional crisis for me is the moment the court issues an order and the administration resists. You could say that the last notable occurrence was when Nixon initially refused to comply with a subpoena issued by the Supreme Court. Eventually, he capitulated. But history is full of these near crises examples. The question is, what do we do going forward?
And the funding freeze.
What a great breakdown, as he just totally destroys Mika's opening act by reading verbatim the New York Times, because that's riveting content. No different than Brad Todd, who I played earlier for you from CNN, that was saying this is no different than what Joe Biden has done, where he's challenged the rulings of courts. So they have clearly not learned the lesson, whether it's bad chants and bad singing or terrible people on the anchor desk. The Democrats and the media lockstep again. They're still clueless.
And plus, think about what they're talking about. They're always doing this danger to democracy, constitutional crisis. It's like, what is that elusive thing that you're speaking of? Meantime, you're seeing Elon Musk, Doge, and all of these different individuals, Trump, J.D. Vance yesterday, are dealing with tangible issues of, you know, our tax dollars being sucked out of our checks every week when we have inflation and can't pay for stuff. And now we learn that our tax dollars were paying for stuff like, you know, full ride of college for an alleged terrorist, or all of this crazy stuff that they've been stealing from us.
Yeah.
And so on one side, it's like, yeah, I care about this over here because that's like my money. And then the other thing is like a constitutional crisis.
Oh, I love the defense, too. Now, once we found out that we were funding Sesame Street in Iraq, and the counter to that was, well, it teaches them values.
Yeah, Chris Kuhn said that.
So my tax dollars have to teach Iraqi children values. How about their parents do it?
By the way, Trump responded to this about not abiding by the courts. This is cut seven. He said this yesterday in the Oval Office.
If a judge does block one of your policies, part of your agenda, will you abide by that ruling? Will you comply?
Well, I always abide by the courts, and then I'll have to appeal it. But then what he's done is he slowed down the momentum, and it gives crooked people more time to cover up the books. You know, if a person's crooked and they get caught, other people see that, and all of a sudden it becomes harder later on. So, the answer is, I always abide by the courts, always abide by them, and will appeal. But appeals take a long time, and I would hope that a judge, if you go into a judge and you show him, here's a corrupt situation, we have a check to be sent, but we found it to be corrupt. Do you want us to send this corrupt check to a person, or do you want us not to give it and give it back to the taxpayer? I would hope a judge would say, don't send it, give it back to the taxpayer.
Yeah. I mean, right there just goes to show you do not have a constitutional crisis, because we have a system of checks and balances where these these federal judges have blocked temporarily certain executive orders, and then we'll go through the court system, there'll be appeals, and then it'll move up the ladder, and ultimately, if the Supreme Court of the United States views it to be worth their time and while, it'll reach the Supreme Court, and the court of last resort will ultimately be judge, jury, and executioner over said issue. That's the way it works. It's not a constitutional crisis. It's called chain of command.
Finally, on this never-ending cut sheet, I will play Tom Homan, where he blasts Pope Francis for being critical of border security measures. This is cut 29, Phil. As a non-religious guy, I'll let the more religious on this show comment on this. Roll it.
You had some very harsh words for the...
I got harsh words for the Pope. Pope won't fix the Catholic Church. I'm saying this is a lifelong Catholic, baptized Catholic. I'm the first communion as a Catholic, confirmation as a Catholic. We ought to fix the Catholic Church and concentrate on his work and leave border enforcement to us. He wants to attack us for securing our border. He's got a wall around the Vatican, does he not? So he's got a wall around to protect his people and himself, but we can't have a wall around the United States. So I wish he'd stick to the Catholic Church and fix that.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Tom Homan and Pope Francis at WrestleMania.
By the way, not my Pope.
Yeah.
Not my Pope.
I was just going to ask you guys.
Not my Pope.
I was going to say to Dawn, because I know, Dawn, you obviously still are practicing. I mean,
Tony is too.
I haven't been to Catholic Church since 2017. But would you say that Francis is the worst Pope that we've had?
Yeah. I think everybody kind of is like the silent thing everybody agrees on.
Yeah.
And just out of touch. I mean, think about what happened. You know, they're so wealthy. You go to the Vatican. Not only is there a wall around it, the security is so tight. But then think about what happened during COVID. They shut down right before the pandemic. They shut down all these great schools, Catholic schools, parochial schools here in Philadelphia. And imagine if they could have just kept those open or reopened them, because all the waiting list for the existing schools was through the roof. But they do nothing to help, like, Catholic schools. They do nothing to deal with all of that. And amid the crisis, let's just be honest, with all the pedophiles and all that stuff,
yes,
they should really focus on that.
Yes.
And shut it with politics.
Stop taking a priest and relocating them, you know, when they touch kids.
Happened at my church in 2017.
All right, we have to roll.
By the way, did you see the video at the Vatican where some whack job climbs up on the altar and starts trashing the place? I'm sure the Pope brought him up to his office and gave him like a bedroom up in the West Wing or whatever wing it is.
Washed
and then shut the gates. Yeah, he washed it. Listen, my mom, God rest her soul, when the Pope came to Philadelphia, and my buddy Ed Nasta got tickets because his brother's a priest. And I remember pushing my mom in a wheelchair all the way from front and Spring Garden all the way up to the parkway so she could see the Pope. You know, because it's a big deal when you're... And my mother was a devout Catholic. She would watch the EWTN every day and read, you know, pray the rosary. And now my mom's gone. But even my mom right now would say, not my Pope. She'd say it in broken English, though.
Yeah.
How do you say, not to my Pope, not to my Pope.
Mama Bruno.
Vafangula Pope. Put this in your Pope and smoke it.
But you're talking about 1979, not this Pope in 2015. You're talking about
Paul
II.
No, this is the same Pope that came to Philadelphia. Remember, it was not that long ago.
I covered it in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the better Pope... The better Pope was John Paul II, right? Yeah. 1979.
Well, no, I know that. JP2, not he didn't play for the New York Giants. That was JPP who blew his finger off with a firecracker.
Yeah.
You can't confuse your JPPs.
Right.
By the way, are you down with JPP?
You know me.
Exactly right. And I'm also down
That's
with
Harry Paul.
Exactly. All right, Bruno, thank you very much, sir.
All right, I got to go outside. It's 80 degrees.
Stop. Stop.
Take your hat
off. It's officially 80 degrees at 921. Let's play ball. Here's the 2-2. Does that mean that, what's his name, the Phillies guy who keeps wearing all the different jerseys and selling vitamins on YouTube? You remember that guy?
Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper going to get back to baseball?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I think he'll be around.
Yeah,
pretty sure. We might not be, but he will be. All right, great stuff. Thank you, sir.
Clearwater, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Everybody in Clearwater.
Adios. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
There he is, Tony Bruno. And we will come back, get to a Dawn Stenzel and Big Three on the other side. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we're talking about the Honda Prologue today. It's Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost... Count it, 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free, and it has three charging options to choose from, including the portable charging kit for when you're on the go. Recharge in less than 20 minutes, at least a Prologue today, for as low as $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details, and shop online anytime, PiazzaHonda.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, okay, okay. So I'm going to be fast, I promise, because I know you guys are busy. I have just 2 points I want to make, okay? So first, the thing with the Uganda and the Gaza, you know, sending condoms, you know, so think about this. So the only way, and I have sympathy for anyone struggling with AIDS or, you know, diseases and stuff like that. I have sympathy for that. But think about this. So the only way that those nations can prevent the spread of sexually transmitted diseases is if Americans send condoms. It's ridiculous, okay? So that's the first point. Mm-hmm. And the second point is, I can have sympathy for Ayanna Pressley. You know, she struggles with the alopecia. You know, I have sympathy for her in that respect, okay? But the fact that the Democrats are attaching themselves to this losing issue, they're fighting Trump and Elon, and think about it. All they're trying to do is find waste and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's a losing issue.
Yep.
And, you know, those are the 2 points I wanted to say. And I just want to say thank you to everyone over there at 1210, because you guys are the voice of reason. And, you know, there's just so much nonsense that's being spilled out by the mainstream media and the left. You guys are a fresh voice, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate the call. Jerry in Burlington giving up love for the station. The voice of reason and also of
hairy balls.
There you go. We cover it all here, folks. Nice work out of Jerry. I didn't know that Ayanna Pressley has some sort of... Is that why she doesn't have hair? So if that's the case, then I'm not going to make jokes about it. But I thought maybe she was just doing that from a fashion standpoint. So
she may be.
Yeah.
We don't really know.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Ayanna Pressley, Squad Dem. They all love the yell, right?
Yeah.
They love the hoot and holler. But then again, so does Randy Weingarten. So does Our Lady who wants to F Trump and all those other ones. They just can't help. But by the way, yelling is not going to win you anything in the primaries. It's not going to win you anything in 2028. And I'm fine with it. I have no problem talking about their downfall every single day. And that's fine. Because the more insane they look and the more insane they get, that actually lowers the threshold for Republicans and that lowers the bar. You know, if we were saying, boy, we got a real Trump has to be great this time around and the Senate has to be great. Well, you know what? Now, if they instead of being like a 9 out of 10, if they're a 7 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10, and you say, well, the alternative is those psychos over there that are yelling, I'll just keep riding with the better-than-average Republicans we have in office right now, and we'll stay in power. And that's fine by me. All right, 9:31. Let's get to a Dawn Stensland Big 3 at the bottom of the hour.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale & Company.
And we are sponsored in the Big 3, sponsored by Kitchen Magic this morning. So let's talk about it as we have inflation ticking higher in January. The numbers are out. So these high prices for us, talking about inflation, very stubborn, and they continue to strain all of us trying to pay the bills as the Federal Reserve weighs a continued pause on its interest rate cut plan. So Labor Department releasing these numbers just this morning that the Consumer Price Index, which is a measure, as you know, a basic measure of how much everyday goods like gasoline, groceries, and rent costs, an increase about a half a percentage point in January, while rising 3% on the annual basis. So it is the highest since June of 2024. So still seeing the inflation numbers still running hot.
Yep. I mean, that will ultimately be, I think, how Trump will be evaluated. If you look at his body of work objectively, that will be the top battle. And I think that's his toughest battle as far as timing goes. I think that is the one where, you know, you're going to have to wait 6, 9, 12 months. And we could say, well, the solution is drill, baby, drill. All right, let's get drilling and let's start chipping away at that. I also think economically, I think Doge is going to be a contributor to cheaper products, goods and services moving forward. We'll see.
Well, you know what? I'll do a different number three because of what Nick Hale just said. But number two this morning, and it's a huge story for Pennsylvania, a Pennsylvania history teacher whose 95-year-old mother, she was 94 last summer when she met President, well, he wasn't president yet, Trump, in Butler, Pennsylvania. And this was the original J-13 during that assassination attempt. So it was right before that assassination attempt. The mother of Mark Fogel meets Trump before the rally. He promises to her that he will get her son home, and delivered on that promise last night as he was, Mark Fogel was, it was announced that he was freed and he was brought to the White House, and Trump giving him a tour of the Lincoln bedroom on the eve of what is today, February 12th, what would have been Lincoln's birthday.
Did you guys get the tour of the Lincoln bedroom when you were at the White House 8 years ago?
No. It's a rare tour, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, Trump's very fascinated by it. He shows it off. He loves the, you know, you want to go see the bedroom? Like, I got to tell you, of all the things I would like to see if I ever get to visit the White House, I don't know that I would want to go to Lincoln's bedroom. It's just, I don't know.
Really?
I would, just because it's, like, famous, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably other things I'd rather do.
I bet you, because you know they hate, you know the Trumps hate staying in.
Oh, yeah.
At the White House, because compared to Mar-a-Lago, it's a dump.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. I think Biden hated it, too. He was out of there 40% of the time.
It is interesting that none of the presidents really want to stay there. All the White House, they're like, they leave every chance they possibly can get.
All of us peons hold this, like, nostalgia to the White House. And when people get elected to get in there, they're like, I can't wait for the weekend.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Even though it's the White House, it's small and it's old. And,
I'd just be in the golf simulator all day.
So we have that story with Pennsylvania history teacher Mark Fogel, and of course, Pennsylvania Senator Dave McCormick was part of that coalition, so he's been very active with interviews, social media, and that sort of thing, but congratulations to everybody involved with that one. I want to return to what you said, because as far as what's going on with Doge and the reaction to the Trump tariffs, Coca-Cola now saying, and some of our soda companies saying they're going to bottle their products in more plastic as opposed to aluminum cans because of what's going on. So they're reacting to the tariffs on the different, you know, aluminum and steel and, you know, just how this is impacting the market. So they're just going to use more plastic.
Plastic bottles and plastic straws. Mm-hmm. Plastic goes together.
Amen.
There you go.
Maybe plastic pennies.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I've always enjoyed the can of soda better than the bottle. Fountain soda one.
Yep.
Can two, bottle three.
No, I would reverse bottle and can.
You like the bottle over the can?
I do. Yeah,
I love good cans.
It's more nostalgia, right? Because the original Coke came out of a bottle, so like it tastes more like I assume it did in the 60s.
Oh, well, you see, I like now.
Should we get the cocaine back in it?
Yeah, definitely.
If I can get the Coke glass bottle, like the
Mexican Coke.
Dawn, you got us the Christmas holiday Coke pack.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the Coca-Cola glass at home. I'd love to fill that sucker up with a cold one.
Ooh.
Perfect. Thank you, by the way. It's getting good use.
Well, we are sponsored this morning by Kitchen Magic. Go to kitchenmagic.com today. Start your worry-free remodeling journey with a local, trusted, family-owned company that has been transforming kitchens for 45 years now. KitchenMagic.com. That's your big three.
Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. I teased this story. We had a bunch of fun stories. We'll only have time for one. I'm going to save this power napping on the job.
Yeah.
This is courtesy of PBS. We'll get to that tomorrow. And also company-sanctioned sex days that could boost productivity in the workplace, courtesy of the New York Post. We'll do those tomorrow.
If you're taking requests,
I
want the sex.
I was going to do the Republican hair.
Let's do that.
That's
like hair.
I got to ask Dawn about this. So, according to BusinessInsider.com, of all places, BusinessInsider.com, headline: DC residents want Republican hair, a new popular trend. Now, I can only speak to the male trend. Myself, Tony Bruno, Colin Dunlap in Pittsburgh, Republicans, bald, beards. That's the thing, right? I don't know why it is. It's not a party thing for me. It's a family history of losing our hair. But now the polished blonde blowout has become associated with Republican women in recent years. However, hairstylists say the style is trending beyond political circles for 2025. Influenced by quiet luxury fashion, the hairstyle was seen as timeless, feminine, and professional. Television figure Tommy Lahren from OutKick, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, and all of the Trumps, including Tiffany, have noticeable things in common, least of which is their blonde, blowed-out hair. Now, Dawn, you don't have blonde hair, but you are a Republican with hair. Are you bothered by the fact that they're stereotyping that? Now, there's no doubt Trump has his type. Trump wants good-looking, blonde women. That's been his thing for like 50 years. It's been his thing since he hit puberty, probably. But you don't have blonde hair, but your thoughts on this trend, do you feel like that's a thing? Because the optics would say they're correct here. But apparently, the catch is that residents in Washington, D.C., which I would assume, many of which are Democrat voters, are maybe going to pivot to the blonde blowout look?
Well, his wife is a brunette. Now, recently, our great, beautiful First Lady Melania Trump has gone with the blonde highlights, which I did at one point. But Scott Pressler, he has the beautiful, I think he has the Republican beautiful hair. It's brunette. It's, yeah, they're saying that it's the polished blonde blowout associated with Republican women, I guess Pam Bondi, but Tulsi Gabbard, who's going to be up today for the confirmation, she's a brunette,
yeah,
with that kind of rogue look, you know, with,
right,
you know, with the white streak or whatever. I don't know. I think it's more the Fox look, if I'm being honest.
The Fox look?
Fox News.
Yes, the blondes.
Yes. Oh, I thought you meant like Foxy Lady.
Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, the curtain definitely does not match the carpet.
Jesus. Being honest. Well, the drapes don't match.
Just to get it back on track for a second. They say, despite its partisan moniker, the hairstyle is not reserved for just news pundits and Republican politicians. As two hairstylists in the D.C. area told Business Insider, you will probably see it everywhere this year. So as we get out of, because my sister's one of these people that darker hair in the winter and then she kind of lightens it as the weather gets better. Mm-hmm. As we get to the spring and the summer, are we going to see, like, you know, Caroline Leavitt's everywhere just roaming around at the beaches on vacation? Is that going to be, because now, a second time around, Trump is in vogue, right? Mm-hmm. He's the popular pick. You know, the whole MAGA thing doesn't have the toxicity that it had 8 years ago from the mainstream media. I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on, and that's why I will be wearing sunglasses all summer, so I can keep an eye on these things without avoiding any conflict.
A wry observer you are.
Yes.
I think that it's, more importantly, what I love is the feminine look is back. That we're celebrating women, we're celebrating femininity. And so these women, you know what I mean? They're feminine, they're girly girls. And that's let's celebrate. That's beautiful.
Very well, but we have to Trump.
As opposed to those individuals who are not necessarily feminine. I think it's a celebration of femininity. Just as I will also say, we can also celebrate macho men. You know what I mean? The macho man, a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is a man? And it was, in the past, it was even like, even the news, I will say, even in local news, they started this hiring practice where even the anchormen,
yeah,
were not, did you notice this? They were, yeah, more effeminate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's fine if that's you. But it's that they were only hiring those,
yeah,
men.
Yeah. Gone you know? Were like the Jim Gardeners with a big mustache.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, man.
Yes, like, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
let's just like not put people in a box.
That's a great observation you have, Dawn. Mm-hmm. That is a great observation.
Yep.
I never thought about it like that, but you are 100% right,
mm-hmm,
with news anchors, male news anchors. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking, even back to your, like, you know, when you were there, like the Mark, mm-hmm, Howards and like those guys, like, yeah, they just seemed a little more rugged than, and I don't know Mark, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just using him, yeah, as an example. They just seemed a little more rugged, yeah, than they.
Bring back the mustache on news telecasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might try to rock it. Maybe I'll do that one day. When I mess my beard up, I'll just come in one day with just the mustache on.
Yeah.
The YouTube chat will go on fire.
I love it.
All right, coming up next, Joe Conklin tickets and company-sanctioned sex days.
Uh-oh.
Not that they're connected in any way. We just have a little extra time. Stay there. We're back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT
and on the free Odyssey app.
Paid time off to get freaky, boost productivity and workplace loyalty.
Wow.
Research finds. The New York Post says they want the day off to get it on. Knocking boots instead of clocking in increases employee productivity, according to new data on the benefits of taking sex days off from the job. Sex days are dedicated time off for intimacy, health, and related needs, explained researchers from Zip Health, an online pharmacy, in a January report. They surveyed over 800 staffers and 200 managers from all generations, Z, Millennial, X, and Boomers, and analysts found that 50% of 9-to-5ers who ditched the desk to get down and dirty experienced a rise in their work output. It's the new sick day, quote.
Wow.
And this is apparently going to be coming to, I would imagine, some companies.
Odyssey.
Throughout this country.
Odyssey is going to come to Odyssey.
So you give them an inch, they take a mile. First you get mental health days, now you're getting sex days. Look, if you don't have 13 minutes in your schedule to give the old lady a jump, that's a you problem.
Okay, well, here's my thing. If sex is going to make Nick Cale a better performer, Don Stensland a better performer, Rich Zeoli a better performer, then you want to take days off for that, fine. I bring it.
I had 35 cuts today to deal with, so I'm going to take sex day tomorrow, Greg.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez almighty.
You're not allowed to.
No, no.
I said perform.
If sex will keep Nick off of Twitter,
that would be great.
I say Nick goes knocking boots.
Yep.
Or you could tell your boss you're going to have a sex day, but then you're going to play possum and actually go to the mall.
There you go.
Spa day.
As most women do.
Assuming you can find a mall that's worth going to these days. All right.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, there you go. Music and what's on tap for the Dawn Show momentarily. But first, our Morning Mystery movie clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery movie clip on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, I'm going to drop two weights, Coach. Serious, I want to wrestle 168.
Two men, double legs.
Look, it was easy to drop 12 pounds. All you had to do was wring the water out of your system.
I'm going to wrestle shoot this year, Coach.
Shoot? Nobody wants to wrestle shoot. Loudon, you're out of your mind.
To tell you the truth, I kind of worry about that.
All right, I'm going to let you wrestle off against Cooch at 178, but if he kicks your butt, I want you to put those pounds right back on.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Oh, once again today, another pair of tickets to see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra on Friday, February 21st at the Aspen Concert Hall at Westchester University. For tickets, visit joeconklin.com. Dawn and I will be out there 9 days from now. Caller 12, you're on your way.
That movie, Phil, was what?
The soundtrack, which I will mention in a second, came out on this day in 85.
Okay. Gotcha. So we've got coordination between movies and music now.
See?
Yeah.
Yep.
How about that? Caller 12, 855-839-1210. Speaking of Phil, let's get to Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale & Company.
Today, February 12th, we celebrate the birthday of Steve Hackett from Genesis, who's 75. Michael McDonald, who's 72, and Brian Robertson from Thin Lizzy, who's 69. Heavenly birthday shout-out to Ray Manzarek from The Doors and Stanley Knight from Black Oak, Arkansas. We also lost Screaming Jay Hawkins on this day in 2000. Sigsicude by Crooked Steps by Soundgarden in 2013. Run to the Hills by Maiden in 82. And ELO's Sweet Talkin' Woman in 78. Albums include Bryan Adams' debut in 80. Moving Pictures by Rush in 81. Eat a Peach by the Allman Brothers in 72. Death by Rock and Roll by the Pretty Reckless in 2021. And the Vision Quest soundtrack in 85. Also in 2007, the Police announced they were getting back together and heading out on a world tour. In 64, the Beatles had two shows at Carnegie Hall in New York. In 72, Al Green, we mentioned him earlier this week, was atop the U.S. singles chart. In 97, David Bowie got a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. In 2018, Glenn Tipton announced he won't tour Judas Priest anymore due to his Parkinson's diagnosis. And today, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame actually announced their 2025 nominees. The list of 14 nominees includes Bad Company, Chubby Checker, and two acts I'm actually seeing this year, Billy Idol and Oasis. The list is actually mostly rock acts this year, which is, thankfully, because it's been so terrible lately. But lastly, since Greg announced When We're All Dying, I thought I'd go back to the beginning with a fun fact from yesterday's Led Zeppelin documentary that I watched, titled Becoming Led Zeppelin. Actually, the same month, Jimmy Page flew to New York to meet with and eventually sign with Atlantic Records was the same month, October of 1968, that I became Bill Almquist. 4K old God.
Wow.
The narcissism is just off the charts.
What happened to the winner? Well, we had a winner and then they dropped.
Yeah, it was Bob from Voorhees. You got it right, Bob. I'm not sure what the movie was, but you do, and you got it right, apparently.
Vision Quest.
Did you listen to me?
No. I checked it out. I was getting ready to get out of here. Let's get to the Dawn Stenslin show. We find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Oh, we have so much breaking. We're going to learn who that second American hostage released is this morning. More on Pennsylvania teacher Mark Fogel, his mom. It all centers around Butler, so we'll talk about that in Pennsylvania. And, you know, why is it that some of our suburban leaders, they just don't get it? They're focused still doubling down on DEI, even though Trump and this administration and the people have voted. So pushback in the suburbs will take you to that exact location. Who's doing it? And we'll target on them as well. We have a ton breaking this morning. And then, of course, Tulsi, we've got news conferences, so much breaking and developing. Stay right there.
That wouldn't happen to be with a DEI story that you teased. Montgomery County, my hometown, would it be? Because I've seen some stories. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Maybe.
All right, stick around to find out. We love a good tease. Thank you very much, Dawn, and thank you, everybody. Everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we will see you Thursday morning at 6 a.m.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.